Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Now, back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Larry Kudlow. So, our next guest, my friend Craig Shirley, founder of Shirley and Bannister. He's written so many bestseller books, many about Ronald Reagan, really Reagan's, I think, top biographer. He's got a new book out. It's called The Search for Reagan, The Appealing Intellectual Conservatism of Ronald Reagan. And we're just going to have some fun here. First of all, Craig Shirley, welcome back. And I got to tell you, I read the book, Craig.
Thank you. Thank you, Larry.
Good morning. You sent it to me and I read it cover to cover because it was such a pleasure to read it and remember Reagan, for whom I worked as a young man. In his budget office as the associate director for economic policy. And he gave me a wonderful little cute medal the day I left. There's a picture of it. But, Craig, let me just read just toward the back end of the book. According to Ronald Reagan, to be an American in the 1980s, his era, his time, his presidency, his time for choosing, was to stand for one thing in particular, freedom.
Yes.
That is just a wonderful thought. We don't hear that kind of stuff much anymore.
No.
Talk to us about that, please.
Well, Reagan, thank you, Larry. Reagan unleashed, I think, an intellectual revolution. Even the Washington Post said so in 1980 when he was elected, is that they had an editorial that said, at least that we can thank Reagan for unleashing an intellectual revolution in America. It's been too long since we've had one. But, you know, we had been guided by the Great Deal the New Deal since the 1930s. That had been the abiding philosophy of the Democratic Party and much of the Republican Party, is that government was good, so therefore more government was better for you. And that had dominated the thinking of all Democrats, with the exception of maybe John Kennedy, and many Republicans, including Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. And so by 1980, we really were in many ways a one-party system until Reagan came along and unleashed this intellectual revolution. And by the way, he was a true intellectual. You know, our old friend Marty Anderson once told me, and Marty would know, you know, with his PhDs from MIT and his doctorates from Ivy League schools, you know, he would know what he's talking about. But he once told me he estimated Reagan's IQ to be 170.
Mm.
He would know. Unleashed this intellectual revolution that power belongs with the individual and not with the state. And that's what Reagan truly, truly understood, is that power can neither be destroyed nor created. It can only be moved around. And from the time of the New Deal up until the 1970s, power had been steadily moving from the people, from the individual to the state through tax cuts, regulation, even speech, you know, with the Fairness Doctrine and regulations during World War II, speech was regulated by the government. And so Reagan unleashes this intellectual revolution, and he recasts the debate. And now it's not about whether or not government is good for you. It was whether or not we should have too much government at all. And that's really where we've been for more or less for the last, you know, 40 years, too much government is not good for you. And that's where we are today.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice. Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
You know, we need to think about that. Republicans don't talk enough about that.
They don't. Anymore. They don't.
And
they don't.
The other thing that's interesting that you bring out, well, first of all, Reagan was a prolific reader.
Yes.
Reagan did his own writing for all those years. I mean, I knew this, and the Marty Anderson, Annalise Anderson, Kieron Skinner books, you know, Reagan in his own hand.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
Reagan in his own hand, Life and Letters. Yes, absolutely, Larry.
So, you know, and you're bringing this out. The other thing I want to ask you, Craig, it's interesting to me. You're quoting Ralph Waldo Emerson in this book. I love this. And you say, I have another line here. In Wealth, Ralph Waldo Emerson called upon all Americans, especially those of the intellectual classes, to think again about their revulsion toward acquisition and achievement, and to see gain and conspicuous consumption as a happy and a spiritual exercise. Reagan believed in growth and wealth, economic growth.
Yes.
We need that today.
It was not contrary to the edicts of God. In fact, it was just the opposite. Is that he believed that it was spiritually good for people to acquire things as long as they shared them, as long as they made use of them, as long as they were charitable about those things. The acquisition of wealth is a good thing, both spiritually and earthly.
Yeah, we need more pro-growth policies. Well, we'll see how this plays out. Anyway, the name of the book is The Search for Reagan, The Appealing Intellectual Conservatism of Ronald Reagan. It's a wonderful read, Craig Shirley. I mean that. It's a wonderful read. Folks, go out and get it. One click on Amazon or wherever. Nice to listen to a good Ronald Reagan story. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, John Carney of Breitbart News.